Well, hi, everybody. Pastor Brian and Pastor Lance here with another episode of our Distinctives content. Our distinctives here at Bridgeway are particular areas of focus that God has placed on our heart and that really impact the way that we do ministry around here.
Right.
And kind of the heart behind this series is for those of you that attend Bridgeway, who are thinking about attending Bridgeway, just to be able to understand, okay, what are kind of the big issues that God has placed on our heart and that really, again, guide the way that we do ministry. So in this episode, Pastor Lance, we're talking about a subject I know we are both passionate about and that you have a long history with, and that is supernatural ministry. Tell us a little bit about kind of your history with supernatural ministry and why it matters to you.
Yeah, so I actually grew up in a very, very supernatural ministry-minded environment. So I grew up in a couple different denominations that maybe some people are familiar with, and that's Foursquare and Assembly of God. So I went to Assembly of God school as well, and so I was always surrounded. My mom had magazines that she would subscribe to that would talk like Charisma, New Wine, and it was talk about all these different supernatural occurrences.
Right.
So miracles were kind of a normal in my world, things being talked about tongues and prophecy and all that. Well, so that was my normal. Mm-hmm. As I began to grow up, I began to get very heavily involved in what's called apologetics. And that was really diving into why I believe what I believe. And I was starting to see some discrepancies about how things were carried out supernaturally in the church. And I began to get a little bit more critical of things. And my pendulum kind of swung away. Mm-hmm. Well, a number of years ago, and we're going back quite a ways now, I felt like the Lord kind of had to have a little bit of a talk with me. And that was, hey, kiddo, how long you want to do this without me, right? And it wasn't that he was not involved in the church. It was that there was more. Yeah. It was almost like, I felt like our church, it was too difficult because we weren't using all the equipment that God gave us for victory.
Yeah.
And I remember just this pressure on my spirit of saying, we have to lean into everything God has. Mm-hmm. And a big piece of that is returning once again to a focus on not by our might, but by His might, says the Lord. And then what would that look like was the secondary question.
Yeah. And what's been really cool is I think at Bridgeway for the last number of years, we've really been on a journey of kind of figuring that out, right?
And I
think the analogy of, you talked about tools, right? The analogy of a tool belt, I think, is really helpful, that a lot of times, maybe just because you see somebody use a skill saw improperly does not mean a skill saw is not useful, right?
That's right.
Put a skill saw on your tool belt. But anyway,
it's a big tool belt.
The point I'm trying to make here is that you see the excesses, right? And even a lot of folks who don't have a church background see the excesses of what we would maybe call supernatural ministry. They see it's phony or it's a show or it's kind of this and that. And we don't want that.
Right.
So it's easy to do, I think, what you described, which is you swing the other direction. Mm-hmm. And I've certainly had some of that in my own heart where I'm like, okay, let's not be weird here. So in a desire to not be weird, we end up not using all the tools that God has given us. But I think what's been neat over the last number of years, again, is Bridgeway, we've been on this journey of going, okay, what does God's word really say?
Yes.
We're not in it for the show. We're not in it for manipulation. We're not in it to, oh, wow, that's the really gifted person right there, right? We want to use the whole tool belt.
Right.
And it's been neat to see the way that that's really become a key part of what we do.
Yeah, I think because we are such a heavy Bible church, mm-hmm. that really what ended up becoming our constant or our driving force was really the idea of we want to do what the Bible says. And supernatural ministry is all over the Bible. It's impossible to miss it, especially when you're dealing with the ministry of Jesus Christ and we're Christians, mimics of Him. If we're talking about the early church and talking about the book of Acts, everything that Paul taught on, literally the Bible stops with all this instruction on how to use supernatural ministry well. And so for us, the constant lingering drive was, what's in the Bible and how do we make it real at Bridgeway? And so I think that part of the journey that you and I have been on for so long is what does it look like transferring from what God wants to do into our particular context, right? And our environment. And I think that if you could speak to this for a moment, that it's not, in my opinion, it's not something we really get to choose to do. I think it's something we are. And because really we are ultimately, I don't know how you are a Christian without being supernatural. God is supernatural. And I think we are by nature supernatural. Can you speak a little bit to that piece?
Yeah. And I think that's a key element of beginning to gain a little bit of comfortability with the idea of supernatural ministry. And we're going to define that as we keep going here. But as you're right, we are supernatural beings. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us individually and as the body of Christ. And to recognize, I think what you said is absolutely correct. And that is that to be a Christian is to be supernatural. By definition, you are somebody who believes in the supernatural. Now,
yes,
we'll talk in this conversation today about how, you know, different followers of Jesus are on different parts of the spectrum in terms of how do we define that. But I think at its core level, we have to recognize that we believe there is more in this world than meets the eye. We believe there is more going on with us than just what we can quantify in a lab. And that's a key part of being a Christian. Now, I think that the question that I want to dive into here for a minute is just even, okay, we've used this term, supernatural ministry,
supernatural ministry.
What do we even mean by that?
Yeah, and I think that this is a place where we're going to have to talk a little bit more like popularly, because if you start getting too technical, we're going to start missing it. But really what we mean by that is, are we utilizing power from the Lord that is not the day-to-day abilities he's given us? So for example, the ability that we could walk, the ability that we could talk, all that is from the Lord. There's nothing that we're going to talk about that's not from the Lord. Everything has a supernatural origin. But when we talk about supernatural ministry, we're talking about doing things to partner with the Holy Spirit, to use anointing, to use gifting, spiritual gifting, to use and kind of access heavenly power that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And then we are carrying that out. Now, they could be everything from utilizing it in a way that is hearing from God and speaking for God. It could be healing. It could be miracles. It could be these things. But when we talk about supernatural ministry, we're talking about anything that's above and beyond kind of mankind's normal strategy, mankind's normal effort, that we're saying, God, we need something that is coming from a different dimension that begins to shape and mold how we do ministry. Now, I mean, this is, when we talk about it, we start breaking it down, it seems a little weird. But as a Christian, we all know the ministry of Jesus.
Yeah.
What did he do? He operated in supernatural ministry, even in the way he communicated. But when you watch him heal people and cast out demons and begin to give words from the Father to be able to do miracles, like seeing one of the disciples before he ever met him under a tree. I mean, these are big extreme versions. And I think that there are varying degrees of things that are very subtle.
When
I talk about the supernatural, I'm even talking about the things that we are doing every day we think are regular. Reading the Word of God is a supernatural experience. Because the Bible says that anything that's going to truly come from the Lord will be spiritually discerned. And what that means is the Holy Spirit has to illuminate it for us. You think you're just reading, but actually there's a dynamic process happening. And people are like, no, I'm just reading the Bible. I don't care whether or not somebody believes in all the gifts for today or not. You have to realize you believe in a God that is beyond us, equipping, speaking to us, changing our lives, and that his word is something more than just a book.
Yeah. And I think that's a great example of, okay, you talk about something seemingly ordinary, reading, and to recognize, reading words, comprehending them, all of that is a natural process given by God, everything else. But even to recognize, hey, when I sit down and read scripture, there's something more going on. Now, so far, I feel like pretty much everything we've talked about is pretty non-controversial in the Christian world. Like, I just don't know that there are a lot of Christians around here going, I don't know about that.
I don't know that there's supernatural
stuff happening. But if all of this stuff was like, hey, we all agree, we all practice it the same and everything, we would not be having this conversation
right now.
Because it is a distinctive. And there are as I alluded to a moment ago, a range of kind of beliefs when it comes to what is the place of supernatural ministry in the church today. And the two main camps, maybe I'll have you define one and then I'll take a stab
That's
at the
good.
Other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is we've got kind of the continuationist camp.
Yes.
And then we've got the cessationist camp.
Yeah.
So why don't you, you'll take the one that maybe we're not talking about as much today. Why don't you tell us, explain to us kind of the cessationist point of view.
Yeah, so there are many wonderful and incredible believers and Christians, theologians and scholars that have a view that we define as cessationism, and it merely means ceasing or something stopped. And the viewpoint there is that the purpose of certain elements of supernatural ministry, right? Not preaching, but certain ones that we would define as extra spiritual, speaking a little bit more of signs, wonders, and miracles. Mm-hmm. We're talking about specific types of gifting, tongues, prophecy, things like that. That the purpose of those was to inaugurate or launch the early church. And so almost like Jesus, hey, we know he's the Messiah because he's giving evidences. And they're like, well, once those evidences were complete, then there's no more need for that. When you launch and the Holy Spirit comes upon the early church, you have some evidences, you have some proofs. And then once those were done and we now know everything's legit, God is amongst this new movement called Christianity. Once we have all that, we no longer need these signs because a sign points to something. Right. We no longer need that. And that once the apostolic era finished, so we're talking about not just the specific apostles, but even the next wave down there. Once the canon of scripture, meaning the Bible was done being written, once that was closed, everything was established significantly enough that we can now go back into normal mode. So therefore, those signs and wonders are no longer available or being interacted with by the Holy Spirit today.
Right. And I think it's important to reiterate what you were just saying is that, okay, yeah, a lot of legit, God-loving, ministry-minded, Spirit-led Christian folks hold that perspective. Mm-hmm. But we at Bridgeway do not. We hold a continuationist view, which there are lots of Bible-believing, God-loving, Spirit-led, ministry-minded folks who hold that perspective as well. And we obviously would count ourselves among them.
Right.
And that would be the continuationist perspective being that, no, actually, those gifts didn't stop in the apostolic era. Like, yes, the canon of the Bible was closed, but that doesn't mean miracles and healing and tongues and prophecy and all of that had to stop. That we believe those gifts are operational today. Now, that doesn't mean every single person has all of those gifts.
Right.
There are certainly some contexts where they say, oh, if you have this gift, that is the evidence that you have the Holy Spirit. And we would say, yeah, no, that's not everyone has all of the gifts.
Right.
But to say that actually we believe that God didn't shrink the tool belt, so to speak.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And I don't know how we need those things less today than we ever have.
Right.
Now, I appreciate the viewpoint of signs and wonders being indicators. However, I believe that miracles and certain supernatural gifts are far more than merely a sign.
Yeah.
I think they're actually practical.
Yes.
And I know that sounds really weird to say something that is so bizarre and so supernatural is practical, but really that's how I view scripture, is that the Holy Spirit was saying, listen, we got a lot of stuff we need to get done. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, you're gonna need an awful lot of stuff in your tool belt. We can't shrink the tool belt. We gotta keep going. And really for us, the viewpoint of continuationism is the most biblical.
Yeah.
And when you start sliding into there, of course, this is the big debate, I mean, this is what's controversial. The people are saying, well, maybe scripture leans this way or scripture leans this way. Now, what I think is so interesting, because we are such a Bible-driven church, I think it is not only most biblical, I only can see it in scripture. Mm-hmm. I've never been a cessationist. I've operated practically as a cessationist, I think, in periods of my life.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean my theology changed. It just meant I was not following through on it. So when we start talking about maybe how scripture gets involved in this, right?
Yeah.
That the reason why we are continuationists is I cannot track on or find any biblical evidence for cessationism. Cessationism is much more of a practical argument saying, well, where is the evidence today? Are things being done as they were before? And it is a definition of what the purpose was without the Bible saying it was the only definition of what it was. Right. So for us, when we look at Scripture, as I said, the Apostle Paul ended his ministry with teaching how to carry it on. Yeah. Continuationism is the natural outcome. I remember Jack Deere wrote an amazing couple books about the Holy Spirit and about supernatural ministry. And he was a DTS or Dallas Theological Seminary guy and really got caught up in understanding there was a little bit more. And he wrote this phrase, and I don't think he's the originator of it, but it was so smart, is he just said, if you give a new believer the Bible, they're never going to, and you just let them read it in a room, they're never going to emerge as a cessationist. You actually have to be taught that. Mm-hmm. And so if it is correct, which we could be wrong.
Sure.
Now, it would kind of unwork an awful lot of evidence that I've seen in my life, and I'm not quite sure what I would do with that. but if it is correct, the cessationism view is correct, then we have to realize it would not be where the Bible ended off on. Right. You actually are having to kind of parlay it forward and assume an awful lot that we would have to train and teach our people.
So for just abundance of clarity, a challenge with the cessationist perspective is that we don't have Paul saying in the end of 1 Corinthians, and by the way, these things are all going to cease now in this life, and we don't have access to these spiritual gifts anymore, right?
Right
after he's talking about how to prophesy. Right?
Exactly.
And I think that's an important, and it's an important perspective, is to say, okay, when we're saying why not cessationism, that truly it is. It's an argument from experience. And you can argue from experience in a lot of different areas of life. And I think even in some theological areas, we can go, okay, my experience informs the way that I understand some things. I just think part of being human is we do that. However, when we're talking about, I think, these big issues, we have to look back to what does the Bible say and what does the Bible not say?
Yes.
And you're right. And Jack Deere was right, that you send someone in and just read the Bible, you're not going to come out going, oh, well, I guess there's nothing miraculous, or I guess healing is not a thing and there's no more prophecy. So
I do want to caution one thing.
Yeah.
And that is that not all cessationists believe that the miraculous doesn't occur. Sure. It's that the gifts are not given in the same way that people would be able to do it on a consistent basis. So they would still believe in the power of prayer.
Sure.
So I don't want to misspeak.
Yeah, no, that's a good
I need to be very cautious to honor our cessationist brothers and sisters to be able to say, whoa, hold on. They're still saying God's real. They're still saying that prayer matters. They're 100%. Still saying that amazing things and wonderful things like salvation do occur. But where they're going to begin to draw distinctions is that in the list, and there's many, many spiritual gifts mentioned by Paul in Scripture, they are not a exhaustive list. It's just a sampling list.
Yeah.
And we know that because every list is different. But when he lists those, we start putting them into categories. And so he'll talk about preaching and teaching. And what's interesting is the cessationist move would say, no, the Holy Spirit's still moving in that. Well, in the same list is things like healing. And they're like, no, he does not gift in healing anymore.
Yeah.
And then it will go back to hospitality. Yeah, he does that one. And then it will go to, prophecy. No, he doesn't do that one.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a people are not given the same miraculous gifts on their tool belt anymore.
Yeah. Now, here is the element of the cessationist perspective, which, frankly, I probably identify with the most, and that is that I think that oftentimes there is a lot of fear of, these more kind of radical supernatural gifts, they are by definition, beyond what is natural. We don't really have an easy, clean category for them. And because of that, they are prone to manipulation and abuse and platform building and all of these types of ways that that spiritual gifts can be misused. I think that oftentimes you can end up in environments where either things are not explained properly or where I think people with good hearts, but maybe not, just not a lot of maturity can do some damage in trying to lead out in some of these gifts that, again, are a little bit beyond what we see in our ordinary day-to-day life. Yeah. And I think that as a result, it's easier. And I've never been a cessationist either, but I think you alluded to functionally, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think there are plenty of times where functionally I've operated that way because it's easy for me as someone who doesn't like awkwardness, who doesn't like when things get weird, and who is hypersensitive to, okay, that is manipulative or that's fake or that's not real or, okay, we're just trying to have an emotional experience here and we're not connected to anything. It's really easy to go, okay, I don't want to get into the negative.
Yes.
So,
Get
rid of all of it.
Yeah.
Let's sing some songs. Let's, you know, preach the word and let's all go home and go back to our normal lives. And that's a bit of a caricature, right? That's a little bit of an extreme example. But I think there's a lot of legit concern out there for this stuff getting unhealthy.
I think you bring up a great point because, so first of all, here at Bridgeway, we don't negate that there is mess and danger.
Yeah.
I think what we're saying is I think it is necessary to navigate it.
Yeah.
Listen, I've had plenty of pain from things being done wrong. I have plenty of cautions. I have plenty of... So in no way am I ever going to lead us into everything goes, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I have plenty of reasons why we're rather specific about how we do things. We have an awful lot of cautions. We have an awful lot of how to test what's going on, right?
Yeah.
And we put in safeguards kind of everywhere, almost to a bit of a fault there. However, what's intriguing to me is that we will say, oh my gosh, if that gets out of control, somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And yet, what has done more hurt than bad preaching? Like, I don't know a concept that has hurt more people in the world than someone utilizing the pulpit for their own manipulative benefit.
Totally.
But we didn't stop preaching.
Yeah.
So you go, no, of course it's ripe for possible terrible things to occur. That doesn't mean you throw it out.
Yeah.
It means you clean it up, you dial it in. Now, probably one of the most unsettling pieces of supernatural ministry is it's the one place that you must rely on the Holy Spirit, and it may or may not go how you want it.
Yeah.
In most other areas, you can, and this sounds terrible, you can fake it. Mm-hmm. So if there are many, many pulpits in the world that are filled with people giving good ideas, and the Lord is nowhere in it.
Yeah.
But you can still carry it out. Nobody knows the wiser. They all go home. You cannot go into a healing ministry and fake it with the people that are on the inside. You can fake it with visitors. You can fake it with people that do not know. But at some point, it's going to come out.
Right.
So I think that when you start saying the Holy Spirit will determine who gets healed and who doesn't, God's going to make the determination on whether your prophetic peace was legit or not, you don't get to force it.
Yeah.
And that reliance and that I don't know how it's going to go is so unsettling.
Yeah.
Because we are all control freaks.
Yeah.
I mean, man, and once again, partially for good hearts.
Yeah.
We don't want anybody getting hurt on our watch.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that all sources of power have the ability to harm and the ability to heal.
And we can, I think the point you brought up a minute ago is so important. I want to return to it a minute ago. How much can bad preaching mess people up?
Oh,
how much can an unhealthy community mess people up? How much can hospitality done for the wrong reasons?
Yes.
I mean, you go down the list, right? The fact of the matter is we are sinful people and left to our own devices. We'll use all of God's tools to be selfish and destructive and all of that. And when it comes to these gifts that are a little more difficult to contain, right?
Yes.
Okay, I can prepare a sermon and get up and preach. And, you know, anybody who's preached has had the experience of like feeling like in the moment God's asking you to go a different direction and you kind of, you know, chuck what you had planned and you go that direction. But like by and large, you've done your prep. You get up there, you do the work, right? And you could say that about a bunch of different gifts. The truth of the matter is, if you're gonna try to give a word of knowledge, for example,
yes.
and like God just doesn't give you anything,
or
you feel like God gave you something and you're wrong, right? That's where I think what's interesting is that we associate these more potentially demonstrative gifts with maybe people trying to seek attention or a lot of, like, you know, pride in the gifting. Holy cow, man. I think those that operate, like, legit in the supernatural gifts, they're actually some of the most humble people.
Absolutely.
Because they know. Even I think about someone I've met a few times who's a close friend of yours who's really gifted in words of knowledge, who said, what, his percentage is like 95%?
Yeah.
And he doesn't know why the 5% of the time he seeks to give a word for someone he's wrong. And
that's,
I think,
right,
his theory was like God basically reminding him that, like,
yeah,
hey, remember where you're
from. Yeah,
from.
Hey, you're not in charge,
yeah,
here.
And who knows if that's right or not, but I think there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the ways that any church, and certainly for Bridgeway, that we need to make sure we're keeping supernatural ministry healthy.
Right, right.
Is making sure that we are humble about it.
Yes.
That the power does not come from you.
That's
or
correct.
Me or any of our pastors or our prayer team or anybody, that the power comes from God. And what we do is we bring that power together for the purpose of the body being edified, God being glorified, maybe non-believers seeing the power of God, and that the emphasis is all on God's glory,
right,
and service to the body.
To the body, yeah.
Not like, oh, hey, cool, what, can you come read my mail for me?
Yes.
And that's where I think something I'm appreciative of here at Bridgeway is that there really is that heart of,
yes,
it's not about a personality,
right,
it's not about self-glorification, but whether it's in preaching or worship leading or administration or prophecy, we want God to be glorified and we want the church to be healthy. And that's how it has to be.
You know, I think that we desperately want signs, wonders, and miracles to increase,
yeah,
here at Bridgeway. I think that a lot of the ways that you keep it healthy is, first of all, you got to keep, always examine motivation, 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 motivation. And I think you address that really, really well. If it's not bringing glory to God, we're out of line.
Yeah.
If it is not building up the body, you're out of line. But when we start examining all of this, you start having to ask, is there beauty to it? Here's the beauty for me about supernatural ministry. It creates deeper relationship with God. Mm-hmm. I'm such a relational person, yeah, that what I'm always trying to do with every sermon is try to make the bond between people stronger,
yeah,
between the Lord and them. And I believe that supernatural ministry creates an intimacy and a connection that allows that relationship to be a deeper abiding.
Yeah.
So really for me, it's all relationship building with God.
Yeah.
And that is a constant motivator to go, okay, let's keep pressing in. Man, this is a lot of work. Keep pressing in. Because really, what is our job? Our job is to create an environment where God can connect with his people and people can connect with their God. That's what the local church is supposed to do.
Yeah, I think something you do a really good job of is sharing testimonies,
yeah,
right? That folks will email you about different,
yes,
things, and then when it's appropriate with, you know, protecting their personal,
yeah,
information, of course,
mm-hmm,
you'll sometimes share those things with the elder board or the staff or whatever, just so we can be encouraged. And I think it's so cool, a lot of times, as people will say, hey, you ask people who are struggling with this to stand up and be prayed for, and hey, I was pain-free for the first time in a really,
yes,
long time, or I slept well that night for the first time in a really long time. And people have these experiences of God meeting them,
yeah,
in particular areas. And you can just tell. And a lot of these folks that you'll share, the people I know personally, so I'll go talk to them about it. And are they thrilled at their healing? Like, yes,
of course.
But that relational component,
that's right,
you really see it. Now, you can say the flip side of that is, all right, well, what about those who,
that's
who,
right,
don't? And that's where we have to just lean in and trust that, like,
yep,
okay, God chooses who gets healed and who doesn't. In the end, we all die. I don't,
yeah,
need to be,
right,
like, cynical about it.
Yeah.
But the truth is, mm-hmm, the relational component is what matters the most. And frankly, that's even the eternal element of it, right? That person can look back for the rest of their life and go, man, God met me that day in that church service. God met me that day when I came for, you know, Monday night,
yes,
prayer,
so
and someone prayed for me. And that's what, man, I think about, what are we missing?
Yes.
If we don't lean into those things. And this is something, I shared from our stage once that, you know, when it comes to supernatural ministry, that all the people that are like, heck yeah, let's storm the castle. Like,
right.
Those are your people.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm the one who's in the back with all the nervous people going like, guys, it's going to be fine. We're going to be okay. But I think wherever people are on that spectrum,
yeah,
and ultimately what really motivates me as somebody who tends to be more suspicious and skeptical by nature to say, we need to press in, is man, if we don't,
yeah.
If we just say, okay, yeah, that stuff doesn't really exist, or it's not a thing, or God has capped it, we're missing out on connection with God and opportunities that exist, I think, in day-to-day life for him to really meet us in profound and powerful ways. And it's that relational impact that lasts even longer than, you know, whatever else might be going on.
That concern just keeps propelling me.
Yeah.
I don't want people to have less. I want when they go and get a cancer diagnosis that they're able to rely back on this experience they had with God when he met them in a deep place. That's what's going to sustain them, not some message about how I exposited well. Right. And I so desperately, if there is any that God wants to heal, that their suffering is unnecessary, I want them set free. One of the things that started one of the key pieces that we do here at Bridgeway is that we do yearly, sometimes two times a year, we'll do what's called a worship, prayer, and healing night. It's kind of our blowout night where everybody's called to be charismatic for one night. And we just lean all into it, and we're praying our guts out. We're praying for radical things. We're praying for healing. We involve other churches in it. We're inviting in the community. And it's one big, massive, like revival night of prayer. The thing that started all of that was that as a pastor, I was looking out at people I love desperately suffering in ways that I could not heal with my words. Yeah. And that was what was killing me. We were dealing with a significant amount of extreme depression, dangerous depression in the church way back in the day, and also an extreme amount of cancer. Neither one of those was I going to talk out.
Yeah.
And so we began those because I said, we are so desperate.
Yeah.
God, I can't let the sheep that you have put under my care hurt if they don't need to hurt. And so ever since then, that's been that motivation. You have to understand, I mean, you and I, we really deeply care about the lives of those that we lead.
Yeah.
And I don't like seeing any of my loved ones hurt.
Yeah.
And so if there's a way that God would go, hey, you know, prayer matters, right, kiddo? Hey, you know, you have been equipped with certain gifts to alleviate their suffering.
Yeah.
To not do that is monstrous to me. So yeah, I think that love has got to be a motivation. I think the other thing that I would probably highlight out is that some safeguards are we're really pretty heavy on trying to keep things theologically sound.
Yeah.
And I think that when you keep the social power dynamics healthy, when you're keeping your theology safe, if you're pursuing God and not pursuing flash, if there's a bunch of safeguards you can do that allow it to be healthy.
Yeah. One other element of this I'd like you to speak to,
sure.
And then we'll wrap this up by just talking for a little bit about, okay, what does supernatural ministry look like practically here at Bridgeway?
Right.
So my mind is always going through the like, well, what about, and wondering, okay, what could certain people say? And, you know, this is meant to be an unscripted conversation, right? And, okay, so you just talked about, all right, we pray for depression, we pray for cancer, mm-hmm. we pray for all of these things. I can imagine someone watching this on video or listening to the audio going, oh, so we're saying don't go to the doctor, don't go to the therapist, don't take your medicine, and just pray.
That's right.
That's obviously not what we're saying. Could you speak to that just a little
bit? Yeah, so we have tried to look at things in the most holistic sense as possible, not in a weird way, but in a just very practical way.
Yeah.
And that is that all human beings are mental, emotional, social, physical, and spiritual.
Yeah.
And that God gives us tools on every level to be able to work appropriately within that sphere. So, for example, let's say, in my life, I've had to deal, and I'm very open about it, I've had to deal with panic disorder. Mm-hmm. I take medication for it. And you go, well, shouldn't you pray for healing? Oh, I did. And then I did again. And then I did again.
Yeah.
As long as God says no, it seems like he's going, I have some practical helps for you. I then went into counseling. Why? Because there were certain things in trauma that needed to be healed. We are supposed to be appropriate in every area to use the gifts. You think God didn't give us therapy? You think that God didn't give us medicine? You think that God did? All those things are from him. And I think that what the thing that gets kicked down to us is, hey, use the appropriate stuff I gave you. We are pro-medicine and doctors, and we are pro-healing.
Yeah.
Whatever God wants to use to minister to his people, let's do that. We are very strong on responsibility, accountability, and wisdom. Yep. And that means that our job is to say, if God gave you a practical answer, I broke my leg. Well, I'm just going to pray. I feel like the Lord was like, hey, so we have like a number of years now that we've been doing this. And there's actually a very simple way that you can put a splint on that. Because hear about this kiddo, I don't know if you knew this, but your bones fuse back together. You just got to get them together.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the Lord's going, I've given you so many other ways to handle this.
Yeah.
No, I am not healing your broken leg because I've already given you a ton of stuff. So I feel like all of it is about good stewardship.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. So we've talked a little bit about how do we keep supernatural ministry healthy, because the truth is, I think so many elements of being a Christian stretch us in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
I think that's part of how we grow. That's part of how God shapes us in Christ-likeness.
Yeah.
And appropriate stretching is really important. And even here at Bridgeway more broadly, we're a pretty high challenge environment in that we're constantly kind of trying to provoke growth and all of that, but it's not done in this like domineering, judgmental, like we're telling you what to do kind of way, but it's in an environment of community and relationship, and we're all in this together and we care about each other and we support each other along the way. And that's something that shows itself in a lot of different areas of ministry here at Bridgeway. When it comes to the practical, how does supernatural ministry influence just kind of, you know, day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month church operations, there are a lot of things we could talk about, of course. I mean, probably the most visible is prayer at the end of services, where you or Pastor Judah or myself or anybody else who's speaking might ask folks who are dealing with particular areas. I know a lot of times you like to highlight physical things. I remember I preached about something recently and I told everybody, I'm like, I'm not going to ask you to stand if you deal with this because I'm pretty sure we all do. But we're just going to pray for everyone here together.
Yeah.
But that's just one element of like, that's a supernatural act where not only is it supernatural in that we're praying, but we really believe that God can meet people in those moments. And indeed, we've had testimonies where people have. What are some other examples of just how supernatural ministry kind of works itself out practically?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because if you've come from a very charismatic or Pentecostal background, you come into Bridgeway and you're like, this is awfully mellow.
So mellow. Wake up, everybody.
like what is going on with you guys? Like, where are the flags? Like, what is happening here? And yet, like somebody that would come from a cessationist or a very, very conservative background would kind of be like, huh, I don't feel uncomfortable here, but I mean, yeah, they keep saying a couple I don't know what they mean by that. You know, the reason why I'm highlighting that is it looks very normal.
Yeah.
Everything that we do looks really normal. Now, here's what's crazy about it. We do some rather significantly extreme supernatural things here at this church. It just doesn't look like it. So for example, I share words of knowledge from the stage. There are charismatic churches that do not do that. I will call out and say, if you are struggling, and it's very specific.
Yeah.
Stand up, we will pray for healing.
So you're not just sitting there going, yeah, we'll do next today.
Not at all. It is prayer beforehand. We have a supernatural team at Bridgeway. It's made up of elders and leaders, and they're always cross-checking on each other. They analyze every prophetic message that comes in. I mean, we have so much accountability all the way around, but even in there, I'm checking in with them, people that are much more attuned or gifted in the area of receiving words. Lord, we're walking into this service. What would you desire us to pray for healing? Yeah. I mean, this is not, the funny one is, you know, as you were saying before, if I ever said in any church, anyone with back problems, like immediately when you say that, everyone's like, I do now.
I've been sitting here a while.
Yeah, and so you're like, hey, I got an instant response. Yeah. Everyone stood up. They're usually very, very, very specific.
Yeah.
And what that does, it creates an element of requiring humility because it's going to be really embarrassing. Now, most pastors know the embarrassment of, would anyone like to receive the Lord today? And nobody does. Then you're like, I don't really know where to go from here. Like, this is so awkward. Okay. This is putting you in that reliant place. So we're words of knowledge. We are We are what some people would refer to as even sharing words of knowledge in prayer with people, praying over people, giving them messages from God. If God gives us something, if you don't get anything, you're not fashioning it, you're not forcing it, you're not making it up. The other thing that we do is we have a ministry that deals with inner healing and freedom ministries, yeah. Right? In other areas, those would be called deliverance ministries, where you're dealing with demonic issues, you're dealing with deep healing or trauma healing. We have ministries that will go over to somebody's house if they feel like something bad is going on in their home, that there's some type of demonic attack. So we have quite a wide range of what we do. But what's funny is you'll walk in and you'll just go, I just don't see it being flashy. In our worship services, we're giving time for the Holy Spirit to minister quietly among us. Many times, I don't want it to be attached to a person. So honestly, I just say, Lord, even while they're there in their seat, no one has laid hands on them, yeah. Because they're not attaching it to anybody. All the glory goes up to God. We are constantly doing healing, 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 seeking for miracles, seeking for change. And so we are truly a supernatural environment while looking very normal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's well said. I think that's well said. So there you have it, supernatural ministry. That is what we're about here at Bridgeway. It is one of our distinctives, something God has placed on our heart, and it's a joy to be able to walk into the joy and the mess and the mystery of all of that together as a church family. Hey, thanks for watching or listening.